and I wanted to turn up to any international event and anyone to dance with me and think that I was their best dance all night.
Welcome back to another episode of Backstage, the Bachata podcast. I'm Lucy.
And my name is Jan.
And today we're chatting with Aina from London. In the span of only 2 years, she managed to take her skills to the next level and become the highly desired dancer and teacher she always strived to be.
Listen in and learn what it takes to overcome an obstacle that most of us will face at some point in our dance journey. Going from being a great dancer with great skills to someone that is clearly above the rest. So, without further ado, here's Aina. Let's jump into it. Aina, so nice to have you. Really looking forward to the next 45 minutes and let's see where it goes. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, guys, for inviting me. And I just wanted to say congratulations on the amazing podcast. I've been listening to the previous episodes. They're amazing. I'm recommending them to my friends.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations and thank you so much for having
thank
me.
Thank you.
Well, we're really excited to have you.
Yeah, very excited to have you on the show. And to start off, maybe you can tell the people a bit more about yourself. And the question that I have there is, when did you realize that you have what it takes to be a teacher in Bachata Central?
Okay, I guess I'd have to start from the start as to how I started dancing. So basically, I am not your typical dancer in bachata. I'm what I would like to say more of a second generation bachatero. So I didn't start from a huge dancing background. I joined dancing at university in a place called Norwich in the United Kingdom. So I didn't do any dance before that. And what happened was I actually had surgery once. It was like 2 years ago, which prevented me from doing any kind of fitness, gym, anything. So I was like, okay, let me do something else. I want to do something with my time. And I'd always seen people dance salsa and like bars and stuff like that. And I'd always see them and I would actually get annoyed because I don't know the steps and because I love the music so much. So I was thinking, okay, let me try something else. I want to learn a new skill. So I joined this taster session at university for salsa. And they had a bachata taster session afterwards. So when I started Cuban salsa, I was like, this is so difficult. I didn't know what to do about it. I was like, can I really do this? Then they had a bachata taster session afterwards and I just got it immediately. It was as though I was born doing it. From like the very first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, I love this. I'm loving this. To the point where they actually asked me to stay from that taster session to go straight into the intermediate class afterwards. So needless to say, I did not do well in the intermediate class at all. I didn't know anything. I was getting these stares from all the leads, like, you're not in the right level. They were just giving me these looks. But after that, I was incredibly determined because I realized I love the dance. I love the music. I realized I even loved salsa, even though I thought it was really difficult. And I was like, okay, even though I'm not good right now in the intermediate class, okay, fair enough, it's my first time. But I thought, I really want to get good at this. I continued doing classes and I was like crazy at the time. I got so into bachata, like I guess like most near addicts or addicts would probably remember this from when they start. I was going to all the socials I could, and at the time, the place I was living, there wasn't many socials at all. We had to drive for like 2 hours to different cities around the UK, including London, just to go to a social and to a class. So that definitely required a lot of interest and dedication. I was like making all my friends come with me. I was like, come on, we like bachata, let's do bachata. So I think the point where I realized I was good enough to be a teacher didn't actually happen. It happened completely by accident. So I was loving social dancing. My biggest goal in dancing was to be the best social dancer possible. And I wanted to turn up to any international event and anyone to dance with me and think that I was their best dance all night. That was always my goal. So what happened was I was at a festival once and I met someone who we connected with on the dance floor. We realized we really like dancing with each other. We got to talking, met up after that. And I actually got an opportunity to take a teacher's course with him. So that was how it all started. And obviously the reason he asked me was because he thought I was good enough. And I hadn't even thought about it at the time. But once I got that opportunity, I realized, okay, I don't know if I like teaching yet, but it doesn't matter right now because if anything, I'm going to improve my technique. I'm going to improve my dancing. I'm going to improve my understanding of bachata in such depth that I'm not going to get anywhere else. That is the best place to learn. So I was like, I'm going to go for it. If I have the opportunity, I'm much of a take the opportunity kind of person. I don't really tend to think through things too much. It sounds bad, but surprisingly, it's only gotten me to good places so far. So that's how I realized that, well, that's how I got there.
You've been dancing a lot in different countries, in different continents, even, I heard. And
oh my goodness, yeah.
As a teacher, what's one of the number one things you see or you observe on the social dance floor when it comes to the, you know, difference between the different levels there of the dancers?
Oh, it's very obvious. I think when you get to not only get to the teacher level, but when you teach and you observe and you obviously teach classes of different levels, those little tiny things, I'd say that the devil is in detail. In bachata, for sure, the difference between an intermediate and an advanced dancer is pretty clear if you look for it. And it's in the tiniest details. It's most of all, for me, it's in the prep. When it comes to a leader, I look at how they prepare the movement. And if they don't prepare, then they're not an advanced dancer. For the followers, I would say, for me, what I look at is going to the limits. Sometimes it's not clear whether a follower is following 100% because sometimes leaders force the movements onto the follower if they're not a very advanced follower. And it's fair enough, I understand that. But an advanced follower always goes to their limit. So when they do a cambrai or any type of movement, they go to the limit of the movement. They make it as big as possible in the time that they have. So even a body roll, you can do a tiny body roll with just opening the chest, going straight to the hip without even changing the weight. But an advanced follower would do it fully in a complete way with all the time that they have. And that's what makes the movement look amazing.
So what do you think defines someone that is then stuck in the intermediate level? It's the prep and the details, or are there other things that actually make a dancer, well, stay in that area?
I think that it's a failure in the system in terms of, I think the prep shouldn't be an intermediate level mistake. I think it's an improver level mistake. But that's in theory. But what I actually see on the dance floor is that that doesn't happen. People of improver's level are much, much lower than they technically should be in terms of the technique. I feel like different countries are different, but in the UK, there's a lack of progressive style classes. So people tend to learn dance. People who don't have a dancing background, they tend to learn dance through one or two classes before socials. And because they're not progressive style classes, they're not building on top of each other, they end up learning little bits at a time. And those little bits are kind of scattered all over the place. So they don't tend to find that, build that foundation from the start. And what a lot of people do is they learn those little bits and then they try and come back when they get to a more intermediate level. They start to come back and change their mistakes, which in my opinion is so much more difficult to do than actually build the foundation right from the start, which is why I think progressive classes with the same set of teachers is the most important thing you can do when you're starting to dance. So yeah, I think the prep for me is a mistake I see a lot in the UK and on an international dance floor. But not just that. There's also leaders forcing moves onto a follower, and sometimes you can't see it, but sometimes you can really see it, and sometimes it can be painful to watch. So for the leaders, I would say that's what I see the most, and that's when I know no matter how fancy their moves are, I know that they're not at an advanced level, because they can look good and their own body movement can look good, especially if they come from a background of a different dance, like especially hip hop, salsa. They look good, they move well, but in their leading is just not there. And for me, social dancing is all about leading and following. Your own body movement is very important and it makes you look so much better. But if you can't lead and follow to a high level, you cannot be considered an advanced social dancer.
When would you consider someone an advanced social dancer? Like, where's that gap between, you know, being intermediate and being clearly advanced?
Yeah, so for me, in terms of, for example, the followers, it's when they have control of their own body. And bear in mind, right now, I'm speaking about Central Bachata. I understand that the rules are a little bit different in the Dominican Bachata, but in the Central, a great level of body control is required for a follower to get to an advanced level. I see a lot of followers on the general dance floor in the UK or abroad try and follow the movements, but they don't follow them fully. They try and either guess what they're asked to do, or they do perform the movement, but not the way it should be performed. They're relying on the leader to lead them the full movement from start to finish. And I feel like this is a vicious cycle, which then makes leaders think that they need to force the whole movement upon a follower in order for them to perform it correctly. So what I try and do in my classes, which I focus on so much, and I feel like it can sometimes be quite annoying. Maybe it's just my feeling, but I just can't rest until I give this knowledge to my students, is that the follower should know every single movement from A to Z. They should understand the movement and then perform it to their limit, fully push themselves from the moment they're led until the movement is finished. That's what I stress on the most. Because when I'm asked to do a body wave on the dance floor, I'm not relying on the leader to lead it to me from start to finish. They initiate the movement and I perform it to my limit, to the point where I can't go any further. I shift my weight all the way forward. I open my chest fully. I shift my weight all the way back and I close my chest. I do it fully so that they don't have to do a thing. So that the leader doesn't feel like they have to lead the movement to me from start to finish, because I don't want that, because most leaders don't understand my range. Only I understand my range. And as soon as they try and force a movement upon me, they tend to restrict my range and I end up looking worse, which isn't good for either. So yeah, that's what I see in terms of the followers on the dance floor. And I feel like a lot of the people just don't understand this. And a lot of the people come on the dance floor without the foundations. And this problem just keeps happening. And it's like a vicious circle.
On the dance floor, I love dancing. I love social dancing. I think I'm a pretty good dancer. I've heard from other people they think I'm a really good dancer. But, you know, even though other people tell me I'm a really good dancer, a really great dancer, and I feel like I'm a good dancer, I still have that. I feel I can't get further. I'm doing everything I can, but still it's really hard to just push that, you know, push up a level to be really an incredible, like you said, an incredible social dancer, one of the best on the floor. It's really hard.
Well, you know what happened to me once, and ever since then I say it to everyone who asks me. I was in a class with Cork and Judith once, and I came up to Judith and I said, "Your circle with the chest looks so good and it's so big." And I'm saying, I'm shifting my weight, I'm doing all the technique perfectly, but why doesn't it look like you? Why doesn't it look as big and as impressive? And she told me, well, you're not doing it properly. And I said, but I'm doing the technique properly, I'm doing everything properly. And she said, no, that's not all it takes for the movement to look good. You need to go home and you need to stand next to the door and you need to stretch your upper body until it hurts every day until you reach your maximum range. She said, this, what you're doing right now, is not your maximum range. You decide what your maximum range is. And that requires a lot more effort than just turning up to class and learning the technique. You can know all the technique, but if you don't work on your body movement, on your range, then you're not going to get there. So what you see with people like Judith, when you see their when you see her movement in a social dance or in the demos, it's not just what it is on the surface. They train so much to get where they are. So I have to say, ever since I've been working on that, in the past 6 months, I've seen so much improvement on just that one movement because I've been working on it behind the scenes, you know, at home. I'm working on it every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously there are, you know, you have to put in the hours and you have to show up at the dance studio. I don't think there's any, there's any way around that. But of course, there are also many other things that you can do outside of the classroom to really progress and fast track yourself to become a better dancer. Like, what is your take on that?
Yeah, so of course the classes are extremely important. Picking your classes carefully is also extremely important. But there's so many things that happen outside of the classes as well. So I say all the training you have to personalize to yourself, and you have to know how you're training. Just like simply turning up to a random class isn't necessarily going to make you better. This is a point I want to touch on quickly as well. A lot of people say to me that they don't learn in classes anymore, and they're very much at an intermediate level, and they say they're just not learning anymore. But the problem isn't that they're so good they can't learn. It's just that they're not picking the right classes. For example, for followers, I would say technique heavy classes are so much more important than huge festival classes where all they teach is just the moves. If you really want to improve, then go to technique heavy classes, not moves heavy, not figures. So I would say picking the right training is important. And in terms of home training, what I'd been doing the whole time, I'd been picking my home training very carefully as well. So when I'm at home, I don't just simply turn on a random online class and try and follow it. For example, what I do is I pick one class and I can work on it for a week, but I take it apart fully. So first I start by learning the actual routine. So I like to train with Judith the most. I feel like I learn from her the most and it's the best for me, which is what I encourage everyone to do, is to pick who is right for them. For example, if a girl that's quite tall and really thin, really tall, wants to look like Judith, it's probably not going to happen just because of the body type. So in the same way as if I want to look like, I don't know, Cindy from Azel and Cindy, I'm not going to look like her either. It's just not going to happen. So I picked Judith and, for example, Raquel, based on my height, based on my body type, it just works the best. So when I do my classes, I learn the routine first, but then I unpick it completely and I forget the original routine and I listen to the music and I do the same routine to like 10 different songs to the point where I forget the routine and I do something different in every single song to the point where the routine has completely gone and I'm just doing my own thing based on the little principles that I've learned in that routine. I try and make something else of it. And for me, Judith is perfect in that because her movements are so perfectly suited to her body that my body isn't necessarily capable of doing, that I naturally gravitate towards changing the movement to what works for my body. And that's exactly what led me to learning about my body, learning about what suits me best and what I would like to do with my bachata, where I would like to take myself on this bachata journey. I feel like this has helped me the most, was trying to force myself to improvise, forcing myself to find something that suits just me, and not worrying for one second about not being able to do a movement that someone like Marie Angelis does, because my body doesn't work in the same way as her. I don't have the same background and I don't need to force myself to do what she does. I don't need to force myself to do a certain kind of windmill if it doesn't work for me. I just do what works for me and that's taken me to where I am. I'm very happy with my personal movement. And the same way as seeing a famous artist in another famous artist's class, they will never look like that other famous artist just because they all have their own style suited to their own body. That's why I always say, don't ever get hung up on not being able to repeat what someone else does completely and perfectly. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you said, everyone's body works differently and, you know, it's better to work with it than against it and try to copy someone else, even though their movements are beautiful. It's just, you know, better to find something that's more natural to you.
Exactly. By no means, I'm not saying that you shouldn't take other people's classes, that you shouldn't try and push yourself. You should definitely push yourself. I pushed myself in Judith's classes to the limits, but if my body naturally gravitated towards something slightly different, I went with it. And it took me to developing my own style, which I'm very, very happy with.
Make it your own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for followers, that makes sense. Pick someone that has a similar body type as you. But how would you go about that from a leader's perspective? Like, how do I pick the people that I should look up to?
I would say for the leaders, it's obviously the style of leading, the style of the figures that they choose. But not only that, it's also their style of how they treat the follower, because I genuinely believe that different people show their attitude towards their followers slightly differently, especially in the central bachata. There's some artists that make it very clear that it's not a, you know, it's not a sexual dance, that it's a very respectful dance. And then there's some others that make anything of it that I feel is not necessarily very helpful for improvers or intermediate dancers that want to look the same, but it might not really work on the dance floor, and it certainly doesn't work with people you don't know. So I would say pick whatever works for you, whatever style you feel closest to. And I always encourage people to not get hung up on figures either. It's great to go to a festival and learn some new figures and try them on the dance floor. But I feel for leaders, technique of leading is so much more important than the figures. If you learn how to lead a simple wave, you can then lead it from another position, from a shadow position, sideways, laterally, backwards, in any way. As long as you know the lead, you can improvise and try and do something else. So for leaders, I would say one of the most important things is to practice. Practice with a partner outside of the dance floor and encourage yourself to not try and repeat the same thing. Just improvise. I know that it sounds easier than it is. I know that not everybody can improvise and some people just don't work in that way. But encouraging yourself to do that is taking yourself out of your comfort zone. And that's already the way to progress. Yeah, for leaders, I would say if you like a really energetic style of bachata, then it's probably not smart to pick someone who's really calm and dances to really, really calm songs. Because all artists are very, very personalized to themselves. They don't dance to random music and they don't do random moves. They all have their own styles, which is suited to certain types of music. And even though they do experiment sometimes, when you watch them from different festivals, they tend to go for a similar sort of thing. Luis and Andrea are very sensual. Carlos Espinosa barely ever dances to really, really calm and quiet songs like Janis and Zoe do. So I think based on the, for leaders, based on the music that you like, pick a style that you like and try and drill all the foundations that suit that style from the start, instead of trying to go crazy on the figures. And when you're stuck in the intermediate level, having to go back and do private classes and try and fix all your mistakes that are so ingrained in your mind that it's so difficult to get out of those habits.
Yeah, I think what you're saying resonates a lot with me. I totally agree with that. But I'm still wondering, let's say, you know, you're a leader, you've been dancing for 2, 3, maybe 4 years. You know, you're pretty good at what you're doing. Maybe you're already a bit above the average. But, you know, you can clearly tell that you're not that advanced dancer that you would like to be. Or, you know, not that one guy that is just clearly like way, way, way above the rest of the crowd on the social dance floor. So do you have some tips on how you can get there?
So yeah, I would say there's different ways in which you can be not quite advanced. It's either you're leading, which I believe can be fixed with either joining a progressive course or taking private classes, if leading is your problem. The second thing is if you can't hear the music. If you're just not naturally able to hear the music, I would say you can't teach that. You can't force that, but you can learn slowly and at least to an extent. Because behind the bachata music, there's a very simple pattern that you can follow. People just need to get educated on the musicality. There's 3 parts to each bachata song. Well, yeah, each traditional or modern bachata song. And you can adjust to that. So, for example, the derecho, the first part of the song, usually the first part of the song, you shouldn't go crazy in that because it's the calm intro. Then when you get to the middle, you shouldn't be really calm. You should try and build up your energy slowly throughout the song. When you get to the mambo, you shouldn't start, generally speaking, you shouldn't necessarily do sensual unless you know exactly what you're doing. In the mambo, you should be able to move your feet. You should be able to do something fun, energetic. So I would say that what sets out an advanced dancer from an intermediate dancer is they generally either can naturally hear the music or they have studied musicality and they've studied how to structure your dance throughout the song to make it fit the music, because it's a science. It's not just a random set of sounds. You can learn it, and I encourage everyone to learn it, and especially for sensual dancers. I feel they can be as advanced as they can in the sensual part, but if they don't learn how to move their feet, they can never dance bachata. They can only dance sensual, but they can't dance to Kevin Cosmos, Romeo Santos, Prince Royce, JR. They just can't. Because when it comes to mambo and all they do is sensual, it doesn't make them stand out. So I feel an advanced bachata dancer knows how to dance all of the bachata, and they choose to specialize in whatever they want to specialize in. So they, there are there are many people who teach musicality. There's people who don't teach it often, but they do teach it in the UK. There's Pierre Henry, and there's Evelyn Lanegra, who is amazing, and her classes in musicality are incredible. And people shouldn't neglect that, because there are sometimes musicality classes in festivals and people neglect them, and people go to the classes to learn figures. And it's just not right, because it's so important, and it's something that you just need to go a few times and educate yourself, and that can make a lasting change on your dancing.
Yeah, for sure. Something for me personally that really helped me with musicality was to just go on YouTube and see other guys and like watch them dance. Like, first, make sure it's an actual social dance, not some kind of, you know, demo or whatever, where some crazy moves happen that are like not social at all. But just seeing how a guy is building up the dance, and you know where the shifts in energy happen, and to see how that person is interpreting the song or the musicality, to me that really, really helped me to improve my musicality and understand how music works.
I completely agree with that. Learning the musical interpretation is amazing from YouTube, and don't get me wrong, I've been watching YouTube from day one of bachata. I've probably seen more videos than most people combined. When people tell me about a video from a certain festival, I'm like, yeah, I've seen it. I know exactly who's dancing, and I know which festival. They just show me the video, and I'm like, yep, that's from El Sol. That's from that festival. That's from Prague. But I watch it for general knowledge and understanding, and I watch it for scientific purposes. So I watch to compare different artists, how they interpret the music, to see exactly where they style, and I unpick it. And how I'd been doing it was I would screen record, and I would completely slow it down to the second, and I would go over it like 100 million times until I realize exactly at which point they do what. But that can only be done when you're at a certain level. I don't believe that someone who doesn't understand the basic principles and the foundations can learn anything from watching YouTube, apart from musicality. I completely agree on the musicality point. But I believe that in order to be able to get anything out of watching YouTube, you should have a solid foundation of bachata first by going to classes, because no matter how many times you see the video, you won't be able to just get to the social and do it naturally, because classes are designed for repetition, and repetition is what makes your body learn. It's muscle memory. It's not just brain memory. That's how you learn dance. You have to engage your muscles and actually do it. So unless you watch a video and you have a partner next to you and you do it 100 million times until you've got it right with the music, with fast music, then I wouldn't encourage it.
No, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I mean, like the screen recording, I've been using that technique as well. It's just a useful tool on the side kind of thing. Like, oh, that's really nice. I want to see how they slow it down. And YouTube videos are also great. Sometimes you watch them and then you see them play with some musicality you've maybe never noticed before in that song that you know. And then next time you hear it on the dance floor, you can hit those as well, just because you might have not realized it on your own before, but after watching it. So I do see
100%
good things from it, for sure.
Yeah. No, I feel like musicality is great to see on YouTube, seeing the interpretation. And for followers, even maybe learning a bit of styling, even for leaders, maybe learning a bit of styling. But leading technique, you can never learn from YouTube. You have to actually put the effort in of turning up to class and learning it. Because the amount of times that I've been on the dance floor and the guy would do something completely random, and then I look, and then after the dance, it'll be my friend, so I'm not rude. I'll just be like, what was that? And they'll be like, yeah, I was just trying something out that I saw on a video. And I'm like, come on, it's so bad. It unpicks the whole dance, it stops the dance, it breaks the flow, and it's just not nice.
What I'm really interested in is, we've been talking about, you know, you need to put hours and effort. Of course, you need to put in the effort, the time to really practice each individual movement as a follower or lead, you know, practice together. But Do you think it's a must to spend all tons of hours to go beyond this average level? Because what if you're someone with an extremely busy schedule? You know, your job is really high demanding. You might even have a family, but you still want to get into that higher level. Do you think they're able to push themselves and to improve to that, they're dancing to that advanced higher level, even though their situation might not be very ideal?
For me personally, because I fast-tracked myself through my bachata journey, I mean, I started less than 2 years ago. Within a year, I was already doing the teacher's course. And as funny as it might sound, I don't believe that I did it, you know, too early, because I did educate myself properly and I threw myself in, but I took it extremely seriously. I never said anything that I wasn't sure about, and I'm constantly looking for improvement. So I feel there are ways to fast track yourself, which are, again, picking your classes carefully. So not throwing yourself into completely random classes. I feel like if you really want to progress fast, then you need to pick your way and do it wisely. So either go via the private classes path if you can afford it. If you can't, then take progressive courses one after the other and never think that you're too good. Never abandon a student mindset, a growth mindset. Always be humble. Always ask for feedback from people that you believe are good enough, especially teachers. I don't believe that feedback is necessary from just anyone. It should either be teachers or people you like dancing with. And picking your classes carefully and well, especially intensives, I think are amazing. If you can take an intensive with teachers that you really like, over, for example, one weekend in a small group, I think that's much more beneficial than going to 10 festivals, taking random classes. That, I would say, would be my number one advice for fast-tracking yourself through to an advanced level. But at the end of the day, you have to put the work in, and as much as you can fast-track yourself, if you don't put in the hours, maybe not as many hours as if you don't plan your journey very well, but you have to put in the hours. It's just necessary, because dance is a muscle memory. It's not brain memory or anything else. If you don't do it over and over again, it won't happen. Obviously, if a person has a massive dance background, then I would say they have it much, much easier. They can transition, they can learn, they have the basic coordination. But for people who start from the beginning in bachata, I would say picking your classes carefully. And for things like coordination, I believe, for example, salsa or taking other styles, even just an occasional class in another style can be very beneficial, because in my experience, salsa has been amazing with helping me with coordination with guys and girls, because it's so fast, it's so dynamic, it's really good. With bachata, I feel if people try and pick slower songs, they can get away with it, but I feel it's essential. I like to do everything properly, not just depend on a good song that I like that suits me to come up in order to be able to dance well. You should be able to dance to everything and anything if you're an advanced dancer.
So sometimes, you know, there's a lot of socials going on, a lot of parties. Sometimes you go to a social and you might be dancing already quite a while, but then that social, it's not a bad thing, but it's mainly beginner follows and beginner leads. Do you think it's still possible for the lead or follow who's already that obvious level above? Can they at this social improve their following or leading, even though they're dancing with mainly actually beginners or people just starting?
Yeah, in my opinion, you can 100% gain so much from that, just because when you're at an intermediate level, I feel in my experience, a lot of the intermediate level people have just gone from that point where they weren't really asked and maybe they were just improvers. They weren't really that desirable on the dance floor. They've suddenly gone to people wanting to dance with them. Everyone wants them. People are interested in them. So they get to the point where they think that they are the best, they're amazing, and the beginners don't deserve them anymore. I feel like it's extremely, extremely useful for an intermediate level dancer to dance with everyone, because when you get to a high level in your dance, no matter who asks you, you should be able to look amazing. And saying that, oh, I've just danced with this guy who was a terrible lead and they made me look awful, I don't believe is an excuse. If you're a high level dancer, maybe you won't be made to look that amazing if you're dancing with a beginner, but you should be able to give them an amazing dance, an amazing experience, and you should be able to make them feel like you made them look really, really good. Because for most of the beginners, we have to not forget, it's that time where they're not really sure if they're going to stay in the scene or not. And it's so important to encourage people, one, and two, you should be able to teach yourself to dance with everyone and still have a great dance. I think it's incredibly important. I don't believe that you can be an advanced dancer if you can't dance with a beginner.
And sometimes they surprise you. They do some really cool things which you've never even noticed by actually a higher level dancer. Because, you know, like you said, everyone has a different background. Everyone comes from a different learning space. Everyone comes from a different learning curve. Some people learn faster, slower. So, you know, everyone has their own uniqueness. And you can always focus on styling, which is something, you know, in the basic steps, you have time.
Yeah, no, that's been my practice for so long. I would dance with beginners and try out different types of the basic. And I would see the beginner and they would look at me thinking like, oh my God, she's making me look good because she's doing all these different things. Of course, it's because they're giving me the space. When you're dancing with a high-level dancer or an intermediate-level dancer that are so focused on the constant crazy figures, you don't have time to style. You don't have time to do anything that interesting. When you're dancing with a beginner, you have that space, so you should use it. Use it to your advantage. Practice different things that you maybe have been thinking about. There's many things that you can do with a beginner, and just enjoy the simplicity of the dance as much as that.
Don't you think it's also a quality of a good and advanced leader to give you that freedom to, you know, style or just do whatever you want, instead of always being like, instead of always preparing the next move and trying to do as many things as possible?
Yeah, of course, I completely agree with that. But the thing is, with advanced leads, if you don't know them beforehand, you still need to focus. For example, when I'm dancing with someone, I like to prioritize my following. I want to give them my all. And if I don't know them before, I will 100% sacrifice my styling just to give them a better dance. I want to follow 100%. And if I have room to style, then I will style. But I wouldn't sacrifice my following just in order to style. And when you're just getting to know another lead, you want to focus on them first instead of going crazy with the styling. And my worst pet peeve is breaking connection. That's one thing I don't want to do, and I don't want people to do to me. So I will do everything just to keep the connection.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it, right? Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. It's been really fun.
Thank you so much. Do you have any places online where people can find you?
Yeah, I have a bachata account on Instagram. It's called aina.bachata. And I have a Facebook, which is Aina Akmalieva. I don't know if you maybe can tag me or something.
Yeah.
People are definitely
going to put it in the show notes as well.
Don't worry.
Yes. Add me, please. I'm very friendly. I promise. I promise I won't lecture you on your dancing.
Right. That was it again. Thank you so much for listening. If you like our show and you want to support us, then make sure you're subscribed so you can always get the latest episode. Share it with your friends, share it with anyone that, you know, should listen to it. We love your support and we love your feedback. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, then it would be amazing if you could leave us a written review. You know, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like, tell us what you would like us to see improve. We love to read from you. We love to read your comments. It's really what's driving us, and that's been amazing so far in the last couple of months. Yeah, that's it really. We're on Instagram as well at backstage.podcast, but yeah, probably you know that already. We're gonna keep doing these things, and we hope to read from you. And yeah, that's it. See you in the next one. Bye bye.